Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
The Kakadu plum is an Australian native superfood containing 100 times more vitamin C than oranges. So why have you never heard of it? PR. No one's drinking a Kakadu smoothie? I'm JB Smoove, and that was a full episode of my new podcast, Straightforward, inspired by guaranteed straightforward pricing from AT&T Fiber. Get what you want without the complicated. AT&T Fiber, live like a gigillionaire. Available wherever you get your podcast. Limited availability in select areas. Visit AT&T.com/hypergig for details.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Everyone out there in the world.
Hey, friends.
How's it going?
Or Zdravstvuyte, as they would say in Russia.
That's right.
I got a Russian phrase book when I was a kid in high school, I guess. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to learn Russian from this phrase book. And I learned Zdravstvuyte. And I learned, Vy говорите по-английски? Do you speak English?
Well, that's useful.
And if someone asked, Vy говорите по-русски? Do you speak Russian? I could say, da, немного, which means
bit.
Yes, a little. And by a little, I mean those three things.
I know.
And
they're like, probably, I should probably just say no. I don't speak Russian.
Probably not even saying them right because it was like a phrase book with a cassette tape.
When I was in high school, I made a list of all the languages that I wanted to learn before I died. And it was about 17 languages long.
Sure.
And yeah, Russian was on it, Chinese, you know, Mandarin, Japanese. Anyway, I don't pick up languages very easily. It's very hard for me to learn another language.
Well, it's math.
Yeah, I guess that's probably why. Yeah. That's why I'm not very good at music either.
I was told that in high school, I knew these kids who were total math nerds, but they were so good at learning languages. They just burned through the AP courses of any language they took. And I think it was my French teacher was like, yeah, language is math. It's formulas and, you know, variables.
True,
and like you just insert this thing in place of that. And you remember
what order
the
things
order
come
of
in.
Things. Go- yeah.
Well, I hate that I have such good reading comprehension because I was like, if I could read the French, I could tell you what it said and what they meant, but I can't read it.
Well.
So, oh well.
So how far did you get in your list of 17 languages?
Nowhere. I majored in English and theater.
A language
because I was like,
I already spoke.
Exactly.
Well, welcome back to the show and Happy New Year, everybody.
Yeah.
Coming up
a whole
on a
new year.
Whole brand new thing where everything changes. And it's just a fresh start. I'll say this. Here's my little tidbit on New Year's that I kind of bring up every year. The middle of winter is a terrible time to reinvent yourself.
I agree.
It's not a great time to set new goals. Really, springtime naturally is, you know, it's sort of a hippy-dippy way of saying it, but, you know, your natural systems, when the world is coming back, waking up and springing back to life, that's a great time to sort of set a new you.
Yeah.
It's new goals and stuff. So if you don't feel like setting a New Year's resolution and sticking to it, if that's hard for you at this time of year, try it in like April.
Yeah.
Because it's tough right now. We're in the middle of a lot.
Yes.
And one of those things is winter. Depending on where you are, that may mean any number of things because it's 70 degrees here.
That's true.
but yeah, it's not, you know, it's not necessarily the best time for change just because the calendar flips over.
That's true.
But if you've got some stuff, I hope it's good. Mm-hmm. I hope you're able to stick with it to the degree that it makes you happy.
New year, mostly the same me.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Do you have any resolutions like that you've been thinking about at all?
You know, I usually don't set any. I mean, I've been sitting on my butt for a long time and I like to get up and move around more than my physical appearance, though it's not my favorite version of myself right now. It's more that I'm just not comfortable in my very sedentary body.
Yeah.
Things hurt. Mm-hmm. I'm easily tired. And that right. should not be. I'm not used to that. So just getting physical more probably is my main thing. Trying to stay more focused and all that stuff. But that's a perpetual goal. I wouldn't say it's like January 1st, we're going to start working on it. I'm mm-hmm. just always working on it.
Yeah.
What about you?
I hardly ever make any New Year's resolutions.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it's such a trap.
Well, and it's so trendy. You hate what everybody else is doing.
I hate that. If everyone does it, I won't do it. More physicality would be nice because we have such sedentary jobs.
Yep.
And then also like... And I've already been trying to do this since 2020, I think, is just be more active about reaching out to friends and family like more in their lives.
Yeah.
Even if I can't be present in person, at least texting and stuff. Just got real bad at that in the middle of 2020 and felt like, it's just me and you.
Right.
Like no one else in the world
right,
or whatever.
Right.
So I was just like, I would hate to feel like such an accessory
right.
to people that I really care about. So.
Yeah. What's been great about this year that's ending?
This year's Christmas ornament, by the way, was from an Etsy store called Interstate.
Uh-huh.
And it was a wooden Rocinante from The Expanse.
Yep.
Because I felt that this year was a legitimate salvage. Because it was definitely a mess.
That's an inside joke for all the Expanse fans out there. And if you're not, well, you better watch The Expanse so you can get our
jokes and be our friend. 2021, well, we started the show.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest change for our lives this year, for our biggest positive change.
Yeah, and very cool.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's been so gratifying, some of the people reaching out and some of the really moving reactions to some of our episodes.
Yeah.
And that's been really powerful. It's so cool to have those messages to go back to and people saying like, oh my God, you made me feel really seen with that episode, or that's exactly my experience, or, you know, it's whatever, just you made me feel good for a little while.
Those personal reactions keep us going. So keep sending them.
Yeah, they really do. Some of them we haven't shared here yet, but we will because they're incredible.
Yeah.
What about you, besides the show?
Oh, well, this year, the sun came up and went down every day. That was pretty good. I'm always happy if that happens. That's a low bar.
That is a pretty low bar. But I guess, you know, some people are like, I woke up today. What do I got to complain about?
I'll say, on a personal level, I have let go of a lot of things and really tried to readjust my perceptions and my negativity because, like movies, for example, my mom and sister will say that I just like everything and that I always have. It's inconsistent to me because other people have told me, oh, you hate everything. So whatever. But I have definitely been more deliberately approaching things I consume, movies and TV shows and games and stuff like that, with more of the idea that I want to enjoy this. I'm going to have a better time liking this than I'll have criticizing it.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't work for everything. There is some real trash out there that I am none too kind to. But generally speaking, I'm like, you know, sometimes I'm watching a movie and I'm like, I could either scoff at this or appreciate it. And I think I'm going to flip the switch in my brain to something less cynical and just like it.
I think that's true about a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know, it's you get what you put in.
Yeah.
And so if you approach any situation like, well, this is going to fucking suck.
Yeah.
It probably will, you know? And then if you approach it like, well, this is going to, it's not what I'd like to do today, but that's what we're doing. So we're going to make it as fun as possible.
Yeah.
You probably end up being all right with it.
Yeah, it's true. It's
so
true.
I feel like that's a good attitude adjustment to make in your mind.
Trying to hang on to it. Then I'll log into Twitter and people just make me so frustrated. And
horrible.
I'm like, oh, no, this is the...
Whenever I get too idealistic, I just get on Twitter and all my cynicism comes flooding back.
Uh-huh. Yeah, just trying to zero in on the good stuff.
Yeah.
When it's there, because there's plenty of it, and certainly in the vast array of human experiences, you could be doing a lot worse than I am in terms of your sort of net experience, good and bad.
So gratitude.
Yeah.
And not positivity, I guess. That's not really what
you're
talking
about.
No, I'm a
very negative person.
I know it.
Yeah.
You're like a dark cloud running around.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
You know, I've got my fair dose of cynicism and spite and fury and rage and all those things. But, you know, they're useful tools.
They really are.
You know,
you can, you don't... speaking of rage, that's useful. That's a very good segue into our episode.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I think that's a good New Year's catch up. So we, shall we get into it?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
It's a pretty fun story, pretty violent and fun story today.
Which is a great way to close out 2021.
Why not? Violent, fun. Because today we are talking about Saint Olga and Igor of Kiev. Olga of Kiev was a dutiful wife and mother until her husband, Prince Igor, was killed by the Drevlian tribe.
Oh, no.
And the Drevlians thought they could simply marry Olga to their prince and then everything would be great for them. But Olga had other and much more deadly ideas.
Oh, no.
And after the brutal and torturous deaths that she would enact on the Drevlians, she went on to be a great ruler and then convert to Christianity and become a saint.
Oh.
So let's find out how she went from bloody revenge to born-again reverence.
Yes, please.
Hey there, friends, come listen well. Eli and Diana got some stories to tell. There's no matchmaking or romantic tips. It's just about ridiculous relationships. A lover might be any type of person at all. An abstract concept or a concrete wall. But if there's a story worth a second glance, we'll put it in our show, Ridiculous Romance.
A production of iHeartRadio.
Prince Igor the First.
Oh, it's not pronounced Igor? I thought it was Igor.
Well, you were wrong then, weren't you?
Well, young Frankenstein.
Little Marty Feldman for everybody. No. Prince Igor the First was the ruler of the nation of Kievan Rus, a loose federation of Slavic and Baltic towns and tribes. Modern-day Belarus, Russia, and Ukraine all claim Kievan Rus as their cultural roots. His father, Rurik, was basically the guy who founded Russia.
Oh.
He's like the father of Russia.
Wow. That's quite a claim.
I know, right? The whole, all of Russia? You were very busy, sir.
Well, my dad invented Velcro. Oh, yeah? My dad founded Russia.
But Igor was too young to rule when his father died, so his predecessor's name was Oleg. And Oleg had taken over the city of Kiev and declared it the capital of his new state, Kievan Rus. And he had subjugated a number of neighboring tribes and neighboring states, like Drevlians, Dregoviches, Kriviches, Severians, and others, to pay tributes and to support Kievan Rus in battle.
But after Oleg died and Igor came to power, the Drevlians stopped paying their tribute, instead giving it to a local warlord. Igor had been a little busy anyway for a few years, waging war on Constantinople, which was the capital of the Byzantine Empire. He was winning favorable treaties, supporting the Kievan Rus trading rights, but by 945, he was able to turn his attention back to the Drevlians, who hadn't been paying him, and he was like, you know, hey, time to pay up, y'all.
Yeah.
Where you been? I know I've been busy, but that doesn't mean the checks stop coming, you
right.
know? So send it this way.
More important for the checks to come while I'm out here spending money.
Exactly.
Where am I check?
Dealing with the Byzantines.
So it's unclear how long Igor was in charge of Kievan Rus. Some sources say that he ruled for over 30 years. But historian Konstantin Zuckerman has argued that that's a misinterpretation of the Byzantine sources and that he only ruled for about 3 years.
Oh, he added an extra zero.
Yeah, they just were like, I think that's a zero anyway. It's probably like a coffee splotch.
Yeah. it's borscht.
It's a little
beet juice.
A little borscht fell onto the parchment, and now I don't know what it says. But 3 years makes more sense to us because, I don't know, if he was mad about the Drevlians not paying a tribute after Oleg died, why would he wait 3 decades to deal
right.
with it?
Igor the lazy.
Igor, yeah.
Igor the later.
Not punctual. Yeah.
Igor the I'll get to it. Look. They pay their tributes, 30 years, lots of interest, right?
Yeah, maybe that was it. He was like Fannie Maying it. On the other hand, if he had been ruling for 30 years and he was finally getting around to it, maybe he was just like, all right, I'm old now. It's time to settle some old scores
with
these Drevlians, you know, that have been fucking around.
Possible.
But anyway, I think it was closer to 3 years than
3 years makes sense
personally.
To me. So in the year 945, Igor got his army together and he bid his wife Olga and their 3-year-old son Sviatoslav goodbye. Olga and Igor had married in 940, and if Konstantin is right about Igor's reign, that was about a year before he took power in Kievan Rus. So she was probably of Scandinavian or Viking ancestry, and ancient Russian history expert Alexei Karpov says that Olga was probably around 15 years old when Igor married her. So that means he was already in his 60s when they got together, which is like not that uncommon for the times,
right.
As we often have to say on this show. Back in the year 900, before they even had 4 digits to their
right.
year, they were cool with this.
Yeah.
But obviously today, a 60-something-year-old person marrying a 15-year-old is super uncomfortable.
Yeah, super gross.
So, at any rate, Olga was like in her late teens, 17 or 18 or so, when Igor left to go fight the Drevlians, mm-hmm. get his money.
And Igor had a much bigger army than the Drevlians, so it didn't really take much for him to win this fight.
Yeah.
I mean, he basically showed up and they were like half-heartedly fighting. Okay, fine. You win.
Yeah.
You know. They pretty much immediately backed down and they paid their tribute.
Okay.
And Igor and his army marched away.
Done and done.
Yeah. Dust your hands off.
We got the money. What else do we need? Let's
no
go.
No big deal. Yeah. End of story, and
yes.
this episode will be incredibly short. But unfortunately, at some point, Igor started to feel like the Drevlians hadn't really paid enough.
Oh, no.
You know, maybe he was like, they should pay extra to make up for the years they hadn't paid at all.
Uh-huh.
Maybe he wanted to charge them interest, like you were saying.
Oh, sure.
He was Fannie Mae in it.
Right.
Maybe he's just feeling himself and he was like, oh, I got them. So I'm going to turn around and humiliate them some more. And
uh-huh.
they'll really think twice about messing with Igor. But whatever his reasoning, he decided to turn back around and get more tribute from this tribe.
He goes back. And another thing.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I'm not done.
He's pulling a Columbo here. It's like,
ooh,
as
yeah.
just one more thing.
They thought they were safe.
Uh-huh.
But he also decided not to bring his whole army back with him. He just brought a small contingent of guys.
Sure.
Because he was just like, man, you know, the Drevlians, they were basically trembling in their boots as soon as I showed up. It won't take much to get them back on their knees and take whatever I want, right? Yeah,
uh-huh.
I'm Igor. I'm about to do this.
Ooh, greed and arrogance.
Yeah, two.
A fruitful combination.
It always
history.
Works out
always.
Great when those two get together.
Of course he was wrong. So wrong. The Drevlians were not down to pay him any more tribute. They were like, we gave you what you asked for. You can't come back and ask for more. It's not how transactions work.
Yeah.
And they showed it by capturing Igor and brutally killing him. According to the Byzantine chronicler Leo the Deacon, the Drevlians, quote, bent down 2 birch trees to the prince's feet and tied them to his legs. They then let the trees straighten again, thus tearing the prince's body apart.
Ow!
Which is a straight up, like, if Bugs Bunny were rated R, that's the kind of shit he'd pull.
He would totally do that to Elmer Fudd.
Right?
Absolutely.
Heinous. Cartoonish violence.
I mean.
Sproying split.
God. Death by tree.
Ugh.
Yeah.
By trees.
Yeah, just by trees. Just yeah, you're
by,
so right.
Just by the springy nature of birch trees. They are very springy trees. You can bend those down and they bounce right back up.
They bounce right back up. Yeah. Hopefully you're not attached to them when they do.
Or you're only attached to one.
Yeah.
Now, some historians have suggested that Leo might have invented this gory death based on the story of a robber named Sinis who was killed by Theseus.
Mm, right? Theseus.
Good old Theseus and his ship. Maybe, in fact, maybe Theseus was like, oh, yeah, you'd take my boat apart and rebuild it again. And how much of it is still the same boat? But if I rip you apart.
Oh, no.
How much of you is still the same?
We could put new limbs. Are you still you or are you a new person? Let's find out.
Oh, man. I love WandaVision really put Ship of Theseus into the zeitgeist this
I
year.
I know, right? So the Drevlians are super proud about not giving in to Igor. And they knew he'd left a teenage bride back in Kievan Rus and decided that if they could get Olga to marry their prince Mal, that would basically put the Drevlians in charge of Kievan Rus. I mean, this is like the best case scenario for them.
So almost like, sorry I broke your husband, but I've got another one if you want.
We're happy
to replace him.
Yes.
I know he ripped your guy in half, but how about old Mal over here? He's a real looker. His name means bad in French.
I was about to say, I'm like, I hope that's not what it means in Drevlian. So they sent a contingency of 20 Drevlian negotiators who took a boat to Kievan Rus to tell Olga about Prince Mal's proposal and ensure that she complied with it.
Oh.
And they were probably like 20 of our dudes against some 17-year-old, like, no big deal.
Right.
So they show up, they told Olga that they'd killed Prince Igor and that she should marry Prince Mal. And she replied, quote, your proposal is pleasing to me. Indeed, my husband cannot rise again from the dead. But I desire to honor you tomorrow in the presence of my people. She told them that she would send for them the next day and that they should demand to be carried to her in their boat, refusing to go by foot or by horse. And that way her people would carry them in their boat to her side. And it would be like this big honor of, you know, to like parade them through the streets in this fancy way, I guess.
Okay. So that sounds great. They're like, she took it really well.
Yeah.
She told us to get in the boat. We take a nice little ride.
Right.
They pick us up, carry us.
The other one was like, well, he was like old enough to be her father.
That's true.
Maybe she's glad for another choice.
Yeah. She's thanking us.
Yes.
This makes all. We are always doing the right thing. We should rip more people in half. So these 20 negotiators are super stoked, and of course, their teenage princess isn't resisting, so great news. What's she gonna do anyway? Come on.
She's just a kid.
So the next day, it's just like Olga says. They show up, they stay in their boat, and the people of Kievan Rus come out, and they pick up the boat, and they carry these guys through the street. Everyone's waving, they have a little ticker tape, there's a big, like, Garfield balloon floating behind them.
There it is. There's a guy with a microphone like, can you believe the jubilance in the streets today?
Exactly. Yeah, Mariah Carey out there singing. But when they arrive at their destination, it wasn't Olga's palace. It was a deep ditch that Olga had ordered dug the night before. The Kievan Rus people pitched the boat over with the 20 ambassadors on board into the ditch, and they began to fill it in, burying them alive. In the medieval history Primary Chronicle, Nestor the monk wrote that Olga supposedly leaned over the side and, quote, inquired whether they found the honor to their taste.
Ooh, the shade. Yeah, she was like, hey, I'm not too familiar with Drevlian customs. Apparently you greeted my husband by tearing him in two. So is this the way y'all say hello or am I mispronouncing it?
They're like, no, this isn't.
Oh, no, I can't hear you. I guess I'm doing great. Bye.
Oh, damn. Dark.
Harsh.
Hey, you rip a woman's husband in half, and what do you expect?
Yeah. Hell half, no fury, like a woman whose husband's been ripped in half.
But hey, this wasn't it. Y'all, she was not done with the Drevlians.
Close!
So let's find out how she next took revenge right after this.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Time is a luxury for us, especially if you're a mom. That's why we need a skincare routine that's easy, fast, and gives us results. Plus, what if your products had thousands of five-star reviews, were natural and affordable? Well, say hello to Dime Beauty. Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Not sure where to start? I highly recommend the Work System. It's everything you need in one powerful package. Take out the guesswork with a proven routine that includes a gentle yet effective cleanser, a super skin toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers. See what everyone is raving about. From serum sets to the always sold-out retinol alternative TBT cream, you'll find your perfect skincare match. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally 5 stars. Love your skin again. Go to DimeBeautyCO.com for 20% off with code GETDIME. That's Dime. DimeBeautyCO.com, code GETDIME for 20% off.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products. It's about the ethos that we embody, rugged, resilient, and timeless.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
And welcome back to the show, my pretties. My pretties. I don't know why my Russian guy is also the Wicked Witch of the West. My pretties, welcome back to the show.
Me and my flying monkeys are so glad to see.
I don't know. Anyway, we're back.
So after burying the 20 messengers and their boat alive in her nice new ditch, Olga sent a message to Prince Mal, mm-hmm. and she told him she was happy to come to him and be his wife. Nothing would make her more pleased. But he basically had sent a bunch of peons with his proposal.
Right.
And she's like, you should send me all of the most distinguished men of your court so she could, quote, go to their prince with due honor.
Yeah.
Give me a little bit of respect on my name.
Right, right,
I'm Olga
right.
Kiev. And so the Drevlians had no idea that she had killed their first diplomatic party.
Right. In the letter, she's like, all those peons you sent, they're hanging out here having a great time.
Mm-hmm. They're got them involved in some gardening.
Yeah. They're really digging it here.
Oops. There you go. So they went. They're like, great, this is all working out. So they went ahead and gathered a bunch of their governing men together and sent them on to Olga. And these men, when they showed up, were told that she had arranged for them to have a luxurious soak in their finest bathhouse.
Oh, no.
And they'd be able to see her after they had bathed. and the nobles all filed into the bathhouse, where the doors were promptly locked and then set on fire, and everyone inside burned to death.
Oh my God. Here's my question.
And she probably was laughing and clapping her hands and like...
dancing on the
dancing
ditch.
Dancing around outside. Yeah. She's like, how do you like me now?
My question, speculation station, that bathhouse must have pissed her off too. Because she burned down a bathhouse in the process.
Right?
So maybe she went there and like stubbed her toe or something. And was like, ooh, I'm going to get you, bathhouse.
Ooh, one day.
They were like, they ran out of hot water while she was in the shower once. She's like, that's it.
We're done here.
I'm going to, one day, I'll find good reason to burn you down.
She's personally offended by so many things.
She's reactionary. So then Olga sent another message to the Drevlians, telling them that she was going to come to their capital city, Iskorosten, where Igor was killed, and that they should, quote, prepare great quantities of mead that I may weep over his grave and hold a funeral feast for him, which was the tradition in their pagan religion.
Mm-hmm.
So she arrived with a small group of attendants and did, in fact, weep. They did hold the funeral feast. But the Drevlians joined in with her. She said, everyone come out. We have this is a time of celebration and mourning.
Mm-hmm.
Let's all set aside our differences and come together.
It's a party. More the merrier.
Yes. In fact, your friends are back at my city just having a nice hot bath right now. So they all come out and they party with them and they start drinking the mead and drinking and drinking and drinking. And I imagine Olga is like pouring hers out
in the
flower pot somewhere. Like, oh, this is very good.
Delicious.
Because the Drevlians got plastered. And once they were too tipsy to know any better, she ordered her followers to slaughter them. And according to the Primary Chronicle, quote, went about herself egging on her retinue to the massacre of the Drevlians. It claims that 5,000 Drevlians were killed this night.
She's walking around like, that was a great stab, Volodya. Let us try it again on this guy. But this time, get his crotch, then his heart.
Oh, my God. Yeah, she was having a grand old time.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the most entertaining funeral Kiev Rus had ever seen.
A lot more funerals, I guess, to be had after that funeral
feast. You know what they say, one funeral begets 5,000 more. Old Russian saying.
Yeah, her movie is four funerals and a funeral.
One funeral and 5,000 funerals.
That's her. So Olga's body count's pretty high at this point, okay? You'd think maybe she felt like her thirst for revenge was finally slaked.
Uh-huh.
But no, she is still not through with these Drevlians.
Oof.
She head on back to Kiev to get her army together for a proper fuckabout. She's like, this time you're going to know I'm coming and why.
Uh-huh.
And her initial attack went really, really well. They won handily. They drove all the Drevlians back to their cities. And all those cities pledged loyalty to Kievan Rus.
Sure. Like, this girl is crazy.
Okay, yeah. They're like, listen, we lost fair and square. Here's your stuff. Please leave me alone.
Yes.
I'm scared of you.
I will not come over. No, thank you.
She's like, can I send you a message? Please don't.
No.
Anytime you send me a message, something terrible happens.
She like tries to give someone something nice.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, here's a nice loaf of bread. And they're like, I don't want to touch it.
Ah, it's poisoned. There's a bomb in it. I don't know.
Definitely a bomb in it.
So that all went great. And then she marched on the capital city, Iskorosten, and laid siege to it.
Mm.
And this was not as easily done. Olga's army and the Drevlians were in a standoff that lasted a full year.
Mm.
Well, and obviously that was not going to work for Olga, right? She's not trying to sit around for a year. She
right.
got shit to do.
Yeah.
So she put her twisted mind to work and thought of a trick to play on the Drevlians.
Oh.
She sent them a message. They should never accept a message.
Bad
never
news.
Accept a
Bad
message
news.
From Olga. She sent them a message saying, quote, why do you persist in holding out? All of your cities have surrendered to me and submitted to tribute, so that the inhabitants now cultivate their fields and their lands in peace. But you had the rather tide of hunger without submitting to tribute.
Mm.
And the Drevlians were like, Actually, we would submit to tribute, but we feel like you're still mad about the whole ripping your husband in half thing, and you're just going to kill us.
They're like, fool me once.
I know. Fool me twice.
Burn me, lock me in a bathhouse and burn it down.
Shame on me. Kill 5,000 of us drunk as hell after a funeral. Shame on me again. But not again.
Been a lot of shames on me lately.
I feel like I've had enough. And Olga's like, oh, no, have no fear. When I murdered all your diplomats, and then when I murdered a bunch more during my husband's funeral. Remember that. Well, anyway, that was plenty for me. I'm all good now. No worries. And if the Drevlians really were ready to pay up, she said the tribute must be 3 pigeons and 3 sparrows from each house.
Okay.
It's like an OG 12 Days of Christmas. Yes. She's like, send me 28 birds now.
Right. And the Drevlians, history's greatest fools, were like, hey, oh, she said she's done. She's had enough. We're good. She's happy. This is great. If there's one thing I know about bloodthirsty killers, it's that eventually they've had enough. So instead of massacring us or letting us starve inside our capital or asking for an enormous tribute that would totally impoverish us, all she wants is some birds? Like, this is great.
Fantastic. We got birds for days.
Nothing to worry about. So every house in Iskorosten sent their 6 birds to Olga. And they probably went to bed feeling safe for the first time in a year because the standoff was over.
Mm-hmm.
But they were fooled. Surprise, surprise.
Guess what?
here's Olga's twisted plan this time. She takes up all these birds and she has her army take every bird. And they would tie like a long string, and at the end of it was a piece of sulfur with like a cloth wrapped around it. And this was tied to the bird's leg. And that night, they set the sulfur on fire, and then they set the birds free. The birds are freaking out. They've got like a piece of fire tied to their leg, right. So they're flying their asses back home.
Mm-hmm.
They all go back to where they came from, and every sparrow and pigeon return to their nests in Iskorosten, setting everything in the city on fire. Primary Chronicle says, quote, there was not a house that was not consumed, and it was impossible to extinguish the flames because all the houses caught fire at once.
As plans go, this is hella diabolical.
This is nuts. And of course, some Drevlians were able to flee once they realized, oh, everything's burning and I better get the hell out of here. But Olga, she ain't no fool. Mm-hmm. She had her soldiers lying in wait outside the city, and they just either executed or captured everyone who went running, mm-hmm. and you know took the prisoners as slaves for Olga's followers. And any Drevlian left over after this devastating attack was allowed to pay tribute.
And she's like, "And you're welcome."
And she went back to Kiev triumphant.
The revenge scheme here is so insane. Like, she was literally like, you killed one of us, so now all y'all are dead.
Oh, yeah.
All your birds are dead, all your houses dead, uh-huh. all your people dead. I don't want to hear another fucking thing about a Drevlian ever again.
She came for the birds.
She came for everything. And so Olga continued to rule Kiev and Rus because her son was still too young to do it himself.
Mm.
So she instituted some changes.
Sure.
She established boundary posts, trading posts, hunting areas, and towns across the empire, which kind of was like the first time anyone was marking their territory in this permanent way.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
she was establishing real boundaries.
Yeah.
She also changed the process of polyudja, which was how rulers collected the tributes from their various subjugated nations.
Mm.
Byzantine sources relate that the regent would leave the capital in the winter, they'd travel the empire and collect cash, goods, and slaves as tributes until they returned to the capital in April. And that happened every year.
Right.
But Igor had shown unnecessary greed by demanding additional tributes from the Drevlians. And naturally, after he was torn in two, Olga's a little less interested in the old ways of doing shit.
She's like didn't work out too well for you.
Yeah, there's room for improvement.
Yeah, yeah.
So she appointed her own officials to do that collecting for her, kind of like tax collectors, I guess. And it makes sense to me because it's like if a bureaucrat goes to the Drevlians and is like, give me a tribute and they kill him, That doesn't really put the kingdom at risk.
We got tons more bureaucrats.
Yeah,
we'll just keep sending them.
Plenty of them.
Yeah.
We got bodies for days.
Uh-huh.
We don't have, princes for days.
Right.
So it actually, that put them in danger of a coup.
Right.
You know, again, they were like, if we marry Olga, now it's Drevlians are in charge of the whole friggin' place. And a bureaucrat, that wouldn't work out. Also, a bureaucrat, unlike Igor, wouldn't have a personal connection to these tributes. So maybe would not get butthurt halfway home and turn around and then get brutally murdered.
Go ask for more, yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, anyway, I feel like this is going to work out great.
She's like, if anybody's getting ripped in half, it ain't going to be me.
Yeah,
it's going to be some patsy.
Yeah, some idiot.
Yeah.
And this is considered the first legal reform recorded in Eastern Europe.
Oh, okay.
So pretty cool.
She also dodged multiple marriage proposals to save the power of the throne for her son. So it wasn't like there's no more romance to this story. It was just romance that she was shooting down left and right.
Yeah.
And at some point, Olga became interested in this idea of Christianity. This religious fervor would eventually get her a meeting with Emperor Constantine VII of Constantinople. And it would also put her at odds with her son. And eventually, this would change the entire country of Russia. Now let's find out more about that right after this.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Time is a luxury for us, especially if you're a mom. That's why we need a skincare routine that's easy, fast, and gives us results. Plus, what if your products had thousands of five-star reviews? Were natural and affordable? Well, say hello to Dime Beauty. Dime Beauty is clean, high-end skincare that is affordable, and it really works. Not sure where to start? I highly recommend the Work System. It's everything you need in one powerful package. Take out the guesswork with a proven routine that includes a gentle yet effective cleanser, a super skin toner, two incredible serums, and two luxurious moisturizers. See what everyone is raving about. From serum sets to the always sold-out retinol alternative TBT cream, you'll find your perfect skincare match. Dime has over 2 million happy customers, and their product reviews are literally 5 stars. Love your skin again. Go to DimeBeautyCO.com for 20% off with code GETDIME. That's DimeBeautyCO.com, code GETDIME, for 20% off.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand. It's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products. It's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah. Добро пожаловать, everyone. That means welcome back.
There you go.
Probably terribly pronounced. Sorry, Russia.
Well, sometime in the 950s, Olga traveled to Constantinople to meet with Constantine the VII, who apparently was very taken with her. He found her, quote, fair of countenance and wise as well.
Mm. Pretty and smart. Wow.
Oh, this is another Heloise.
He told her that she was, quote, worthy to reign with him in his city, according to the Primary Chronicle, which may have meant that he was interested in marrying her, possibly just to gain power over the Kievan Rus.
Right.
But Olga was, you know, she was more savvy than these emperors, these old stodgy boys.
Mm-hmm. These old stodgy boys.
She was fresh, she was smart, she was ruthless, and she loved to murder. She wanted to be baptized, but she also wanted to maintain her political independence and keep her country out of the Byzantine Empire. Mm-hmm. So she told Constantine that she was still pagan, and she wanted to convert and be baptized by the emperor himself. After he baptized her with the name Helena, he proposed marriage. But she said, oh, we can't do that. Look, it says right here, church law says that a godfather can't marry his goddaughter. That would be spiritual incest. Ooh,
oh,
sorry.
My bad. Should have read that first, I guess.
Jeez, you know, we should really pay more attention when we make decisions. And Constantine replied, quote, Olga, you have outwitted me.
He knew that was bullshit. He was like, you knew that shit first. That's why you asked for me to baptize you. You sneaky wench.
But he seemed to respect it. He had no hard feelings. He gave her a bunch of gifts of gold, silver, silks, and vases. And he let her go home. He still called her his daughter. So they always have this cute thing. Oh, daughter, remember when I proposed to you?
Oh, father, I do remember. It was very creepy.
This is a very different godfather.
Yeah.
than your classic godfather.
Here again, we meet with a little bit of historical controversy.
Classic.
Some people have argued that this is our friend Nestor the monk having a little fun in his Primary Chronicle and making shit up, kind of like Leo the deacon. Okay. He just wanted a better story, so he's like, how about if she outwitted Constantine? Yeah. Because Olga was definitely baptized by Constantine in 957, and apparently at that time he already had an empress, so it's would be very unusual for him to be proposing marriage to someone else.
Okay.
There's also indications that she was actually already baptized in Kiev in 955. And this was like a second baptism.
Oh, well, speculation station. Mm-hmm. What if she was already baptized and she just pretended she wasn't?
Yeah.
So he wasn't even really technically spiritually her godfather.
True. And she was like,
tricking him.
But you are. So whoopsie doodle.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Double trick.
That's probably what
maybe,
it was.
Maybe. Look, it's a fun story. I like to believe the fun stories in history.
I know.
Especially when it doesn't matter now.
No one is alive to be hurt by these rumors. So I think it's a fun story. And I'm personally going to decide it's true.
There
I heard
you go.
It here first.
But her baptism, whenever it did happen, it marked an important historic turning point for the region. Olga went home a Christian. Though not the first Christian in Rus by any means. Igor's court had several Christians in 945, but Olga was the most powerful person in Rus to convert. And like many Christians, she was also ready to proselytize and start converting others. She started, naturally, with her son, Sviatoslav, but he was totally not into it. He was a soldier, and he wasn't really particularly interested in doing the administration work of ruling a nation, but he was very interested in expanding it. And he spent pretty much all his time battling with neighboring states with his company of warriors, or Druzina.
Druzina. It sounds so much more like...
It is threatening.
Yeah, warlike.
I hope they chanted it. I hope a bunch of army of soldiers stomped up and went, slammed their spears down and went, Druzina!
Druzina! Apparently it means company, so that would be funny. In English, they're like, company!
You're like, are you talking about the musical theater show?
I know, right? I love that show. Oh, my God. Are you guys about to do it now? Let me get some popcorn.
Whereas an army of musical theater people are way more likely to walk up and stomp and all chant the name of their show in unison.
That's so true. Much less intimidating.
It's very non-threatening. But the Primary Chronicle says that he didn't bring any wagons or kettles with him or even a tent. When he was traveling with the Druzina, he would spread out a horse blanket and lay his head on his saddle, just like everyone else. he thought that the other soldiers would make fun of him if he became a Christian. He was very into like being on their level mm-hmm. and making sure everybody thought he was cool. And he didn't want to lose their respect. That was totally the most important thing to him.
I mean, well, and if you're commanding an army
oh, yeah.
and they don't respect you.
Exactly.
We all know how that turns out.
Right.
And it's you dead.
Yeah. And it was very, you know, to the manly soldiers of the time, it was very dorky to convert to Christianity. Yeah. So Olga was like, but if you do it, they'll do it because you're their leader. Mm-hmm. So everybody will be Christian and it'll be the cool thing to do. You know, be a trendsetter.
Yeah. She was like, use your influence and make them all convert.
But he was, you know, boys, he was like, Mom, you don't understand. Like, these guys would never convert. And if I do, they'll call me a mama's boy.
Aww.
But, you know, Olga, she wasn't having it. She like, she totally youth pastored her chair, turned it around backwards, sat down and said, you know who else was a mama's boy? Jesus Christ.
And then some fun pop music started to play. So you knew it was cool. But that did not work. Sviatoslav was not down to clown with Christianity.
No.
It didn't matter how many fun dance numbers she came up with or whatever. So he stayed a pagan. But thanks to her influence, he did say that he would not persecute any Christians or anybody who converted to Christianity.
Oh, okay.
And that was a pretty significant concession at the time.
Yeah, sure, sure.
And despite a lack of interest and sometimes outright hostility from her people, Olga built churches in Kiev and other cities, and she did get some people to convert. She even went to the Holy Roman Emperor Otto in 959 and asked him to appoint a bishop and priest in Rus so that they'd be like part of, you know, the whole Christian system.
Yeah.
And she was, you know, she's up to her tricks again with this idea because she kind of thought that the Byzantine priests would convert more people in Rus if they had a little competition from the West,
yeah,
from
okay,
Rome.
Okay.
Like, they'd be like, oh, well, we want to make more Christians than they get.
Yeah.
So if they come in with Roman people, maybe that'll light a fire under their ass.
They put, like, two little thermometers up on a corkboard.
and they were like, who can
filling
hit 5,000 But 2 years later, when the bishop and priest finally got to Kiev and Rus, they were quickly expelled by pagan allies of Sviatoslav, and they went back to Rome without having made much headway.
Ah, okay.
So it's kind of empty-handed. No souls for the Lord. Sorry.
But though Sviatoslav had taken over by this point, as we said, he wasn't really very interested in administrating.
Mm-hmm.
So while he was out on countless military campaigns, Olga remained in Kiev with her grandchildren, still with her hand on the wheel. Oh, you go ahead, son. You go play in your little army battles. Mm-hmm. I will handle things here.
I mean, I guess if Olga was my mother, I'd be like, Mother, you've been doing such a good job, but why would I take it away from you? You fill out all the paperwork, I go out and I bang a sword together. It'll be great.
Try not to murder too many people while I'm gone.
But if you do, oh well.
I trust your judgment.
I'm sure they had it coming.
It reminds me very much of Emperor Caracalla, who we talked about in our episode about the Empress Elagabalus. Who also left his mom in charge when he went off to war and stuff.
Isn't that funny?
And she did a great job.
These men were like, feeding people, keeping the shit off the streets.
Paperwork.
No, thanks.
Mom! Can you do my paperwork? I want to go play battle wars.
Basically.
But while Olga was at the helm in 968, and Sviatoslav was off defeating Bulgarian ruler Boris II and occupying all of northern Bulgaria, the Byzantine Empire bribed the Pechenegs to lay siege to Kiev. Rus' allies beat back the army, and Olga wrote a reproachful letter to Sviatoslav, probably saying something like, oh, you're out there fighting with Bulgaria, and meanwhile, the Byzantines are making a fool out of you in your own backyard. She's like, oh, come on, I set fire to the entire city of Iskorostin. I didn't do that just for you to play games and have your ass shown here back home. Get the dinner. She's ringing the dinner bell.
Yeah.
She's like, Sviatoslav, come home now. It is way past your defending the city time. So he hot-footed it back to Kiev and soundly defeated the Pechenegs. And they did continue to threaten Kiev, but at least he showed them what's what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But then he decided that he wanted to move the capital from Kiev to Pereyaslavets, which is the center of the empire because it had this great potential to become a trading hub.
Oh, sure, yeah.
He explained that to Pereyaslavets, quote, all the riches flow, gold, silks, wine, and various fruits from Greece, silver and horses from Hungary and Bohemia, and from Rus, furs, wax, honey, and slaves. But Olga, who was in poor health, pleaded with him to delay his move until she died, which was only 3 days later.
Oh, wow.
So she basically made it through this siege, mm-hmm. got him to come home, and then perished, yeah. essentially. And Sviatoslav wept for her, of course, as his mother. And even though he didn't really respect her religion, he did respect her dying wishes to have a priest pray over her body instead of throwing the traditional pagan funeral feast.
Oh, okay.
And I wonder if she was kind of like, you know, the one I threw for Igor, nothing could compare. I think any party would be flat after that. So yeah. Let's just go with a regular one. Send me a wreath of flowers.
Uh-huh. And then all the time that she spent with her grandchildren, that paid off too. Because although Olga wasn't able to convert Rus to Christianity in her lifetime, her grandson Vladimir came to power in 980 after, you know, classic power-achieving stuff like some good old-fashioned fratricide. Mm-hmm. He was forced to flee to Scandinavia, and then he got a collab going with Norway, and they all came back and took the throne for him.
Mm-hmm.
And then in 988, he converted to Christianity and made it the national religion. So he's thinking about grandma and her religion and was right. like, you know, that worked out pretty well for me.
Yeah.
I actually saw in a TED Ed talk by Alex Gendler that Vladimir considered many religions. He had his people go out and explore all these nearby religions to see it was time to change and they wanted to do something else. And they came back and told him about Islam. And he was like, this sounds pretty good. And they said, and also alcohol is forbidden. And he said, nope, never mind. Not
He's
doing
like,
that one.
This is Rus and all we drink is vodka. So yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
So that's pretty much how he settled on Christianity, on grandma's old religion.
That's so funny.
But it was thanks to Olga's proselytizing influence that the Russian Orthodox Church exists at all.
Mm-hmm.
So in 1547, 600 years after her death, they made Olga a saint, the patron saint of widows and converts.
Yeah. So if you're a widow and you've decided to lay siege to a whole city and burn a bunch of people alive, make sure to send some prayers to Olga.
Olga.
That all your plans go perfectly.
They're like, let's not make her the patron saint of birds or
fire.
Thatched roof cottages.
Oh my God, is Olga Trogdor the
oh,
Burninator?
No. Olga is the Burninator. She burninated the countryside.
The countryside.
Oh man. I hope some of you are too young to get that joke.
I know, right? Oh my God. That was the website though.
Homestar. Wow. What an insane story.
Do you think after killing all of those people that she heard about Christianity and was like, oh, really? So all I have to do is say, oh, I'm sorry that I did that. And then I get to go to paradise. This is great news for me.
He said, I just tell you and you forgive me. That's it.
That's it?
Like, sometimes I have to say a Hail Mary.
Oh, no.
Okay, I guess so. Cool. And then I can do this over and over again.
Yeah, I just keep coming back.
If I kill 5,000 more people, I just have to tell you.
Right. And God says, okay, you're good.
This is pretty good for me.
It's a great religion. Everything.
And we can drink. We can drink, right?
Oh, right. Okay. Oh, in fact, there's wine in the church. This is perfect for us.
Yeah, you know, you can start to see the appeal
yeah,
to
right?
someone like Olga. Wow,
she's
yeah.
She's like, I need the power of forgiveness in my life. I don't have any for you, but I'd like some for
right.
myself.
Right. Maybe afterwards she's like, you know, I have grown a lot since mm-hmm. those days.
Yeah.
I'm Christian now. I forgive you.
I forgive you.
This is one of those stories I love that it's not, the romance is not the story. It's the instigator.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
it was her husband's execution that got her all riled up.
She was pissed.
And she was pissed. Obvious. I mean, who knows how she felt about him as a 15-year-old for this 65-year-old man.
Right.
But she certainly took it personally. It was a wrong done to her, home mm-hmm. and her country.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I've got some ideas. And I'll tell you what, you give a teenage girl that much power and she will lay waste to entire civilizations.
I was like, she was only 17, 18 years old when she did all this to the Drevlians. Like, she's just a kid.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know what? Not only am I going to kill the shit out of y'all, but I'm going to do it in the most creative, fucked up ways that I can think of, because y'all be fucking with this birch tree.
Yeah.
And you thought that you found the most brutal. But guess what? I'm also very creative.
You know, when you're at that age, your imagination is really running wild. It's a really magical time. You should really be discovering yourself. And I think she discovered some things about herself.
She did some very important things.
Wow.
But yeah, she was just real canny and savvy, like even later on in life being like, let me think about how to get these priests more interested in my people and converting my people. Or let me see, you know, like she's tricksy.
Uh-huh.
She's tricksy. And I wonder too, like you said, we don't know if she cared particularly for Igor or not. So I wonder if she took it as a personal insult, like you said, to her house or to her country. Or if she was like, y'all think you could just send me a letter and I'll just trip on over and marry your prince and whatever? Like, you really thought that. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Let me learn you a little something about Olga of Kiev.
I'm going to teach you a lesson that no one will be around to remember.
I know, but they'll remember it. They will sing songs of my revenge for generations.
Yeah. Also fascinating to me. It really... Now, I'm not a Christian person myself, but like we said, it really does show the power of forgiveness, because this woman brutally slaughtered countless people, and now she's a saint. She has the same title as Mother Teresa. What a turn.
I know. I mean, I kind of love it, though. It's hard to root for a murderer like that, I guess. But it's so diabolical, and... I guess it is kind of funny to think about them being so arrogant, like, oh, we'll just tell her to marry our guys and it'll be no big deal.
Oh, yeah.
And then her being just turning the tables so hard on them.
Oh, yeah.
It's kind of awesome while also being not cool.
It's just distant enough.
Right.
You know.
Right. And imagine if she had not changed to Christianity. I wonder if Vladimir would have taken a different, and Russia would not be Christian
hard
at
to
all.
Say.
Like if it would be, it, hard yeah, to like say. Islamic or... whatever, I don't know, Shinto, yeah. I don't know.
Right.
That'd be so funny, a Buddhist Russia. What would that be like?
I don't know if it'd be funny, but it'd certainly be different.
Well.
I mean, I think Buddhism and Russia, and I'm not getting a comedic vibe.
I guess not.
Well, I hope that this episode gives you the determination and the fire to take into the new year.
Yeah.
That you need to, you know... really right some wrongs, really change some minds. Try not to burn anyone's village down, but just take the energy that Olga had maybe in with you to the new year.
Yeah.
Minus the violence, just the determination.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. You know, if you've done some terrible things in your past, there's possibly a way to turn a corner.
Sure.
And still be cool.
Yeah.
And become a saint.
Right.
600 years after you die. Who knows? That's what we learned from Olga of Kiev.
We did. And I think it's a great lesson to close out the year.
Yeah.
We could call it a lesson, sure.
Or something. I will say I heard this of this story from a great episode of Noble Blood, which is another great podcast.
Oh, yeah. Dana Schwartz.
And
Aaron Menke.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Very good show. And then my mother, Janice, also reached out like a few months ago, like,
nice.
You should do this Lady Olga. She's crazy.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I want to say thanks, Mom. That was a good... I already had her because of that episode. I was like, oh, this lady went nuts after her husband died.
Oh,
but
that's cool.
I was still glad to get it as a suggestion.
I'm going to have to listen to that Noble Blood because Dana tells a good story.
She does.
Yeah.
I like her a lot.
Yeah.
She's got such a good voice.
Yeah.
She's a good writer.
And hilarious on Twitter.
Very true.
Yeah. So that's awesome. I hope y'all enjoyed this one.
Yeah.
Let us know what you thought, of course.
Nothing like ending out the year with some bloody revenge.
Exactly. So reach out to us. Tell us what you thought. Tell us about your year. Tell us what you think about moving forward into 2022. Mm-hmm. And share your stories of revenge with us. Maybe we'll read them on the air. And we can't wait to see you again. Of course, you can email us, romance@iheartmedia.com.
Right, or we're on Twitter and Instagram. I'm @DianaMightBoom.
And I'm @OhGreat, it's Eli.
And the show is @RidicRomance.
Thank you again for listening. Thank you for spending a good chunk of this year with us. We got many more episodes to come in the coming year. And we will see you next week, next year even.
Whoa, next year. See you next year.
All right, y'all. Have a good one.
Bye.
So long, friends. It's time to go. Thanks for listening to our show. Tell your friends, neighbors, uncles, and aunts to listen to our show, Ridiculous Romance.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
With every CBD product claiming to do something different, it's nearly impossible to decide what's best for you. Lazarus Naturals pioneered the farm-to-front-door model of transparency where they handle each step of the production process to ensure quality, potency, and consistency. Scannable labels allow you to see the test results of your hemp batch so you can be confident in the safety and quality. Visit LazarusNaturals.com today. Lazarus Naturals, committed to improving your life as well as the world around you. Not available in Idaho, Iowa, or South Dakota.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com, that's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.